Welcome to Aware. We are dedicated to communicating information that inspires your positive growth and change. Are you interested in a peaceful planet? Are you interested in optimal health? Are you living with purpose? Are you enjoying your life? We realize each person can make a difference, and our mission is to empower your awareness. The choices that you make in every moment shape your life, and we encourage you to realize that you have your own answers and to always listen to your own truth. We invite you to stay aware.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome, welcome to the Aware Show. I am so excited about today's show because this hour alone could completely change and shift your life. It can completely change and shift your life. It's just the way that you look at things. So, first of all, I want to say welcome to all of our listeners on the phone lines. Thank you so much for joining us, and all of those new listeners here on our Google Hangouts who are joining us on this video format, which I love because I love looking into my guests' eyes. I absolutely love that. I do. I mean, I've done interviews for so long on the phone, and now I get to see you. I get to see your eyes, which is so exciting to me. So if you want to do that, you can jump over onto theawareshow.com/hangout, watch us on the Google Hangout. After the show, you can watch us on YouTube because this goes right up to YouTube. So just search The Aware Show on YouTube. And it also will come out in video on the replay. So you'll see it no matter what, because that's my goal. And talking about goal, my goodness, Dr. Joe Dispenza is joining us, who is a neuroscientist, and he is an expert in brain function and in brain chemistry. You know so much about the brain. It's fascinating. He's one of the scientists from the film What the Bleep Do We Know? Dr. Joe Dispenza, welcome. Round of applause.
I'm happy to be with you again.
So happy. We do magic together. I was just reminiscing before the show of that great interview we did with you in Australia with the Sydney Opera House. And talk about a burned-in memory in my brain. It's just, I still got the image of the sun rising and the Opera House in the background and you talking and telling your story. You told your story that time, and I've heard your story before, but it was more clear than I've ever heard you tell the story. How do you do that again and again where you feel, I feel personally, like you show up every time with, it's like the first time you've told this to anyone. Where does that come from? Where does that passion, that, where does that come from?
You know, I'm a very purpose-driven person, and I love the idea of contributing. I think that you and I are the happiest when we have the opportunity to contribute and make a difference. And so the story for me is just a platform to get people to understand what's possible. So I like to speak on two levels. Tell a story to build a model of understanding, and then follow it with a little bit of science or intermingle science and philosophy. So people begin to think in different ways. And so I don't mind telling the story as long as it contributes to somebody's life in some way. So I always try to change it up a little bit.
Well, we're going to get to that because there are people who are asking questions that actually are related to your story. So we'll get to that in a little bit. But let's talk about right now the true science of change. What is a habit in the brain and the body? What does that look like? How does the body create a habit?
Well, a habit is just a redundant, often unconscious, automatic set of thoughts, behaviors, and emotions that are required or acquired through frequent repetition. So if you're thinking the same thoughts every single day, performing the same actions, and living by the same experiences that create the same emotions, then your biology will stay the same. And if you keep doing all of those things enough time, you begin to fire and wire the same circuits in your brain in the same sequences, patterns, and combinations. And so the activity and the redundancy of that cycle tends to hardwire the brain into a very finite signature. So in time, you're able to have a thought that activates a neural network and it begins to run automatically or unconsciously. Now, if you keep doing it enough times, you begin to condition your body also to become the mind. So then once the body becomes the mind, or the mind and body merge as one, now you're in a state of being. And the body begins to know how to perform the action as well as your conscious mind. So we can all think about this. I mean, you have to be over 35 years old. But, you know, at certain points in our lives, we couldn't consciously remember a phone number. But, you know, we walk over to the receiver, and we pick up the receiver, we look at the pad, and then we automatically dial the number. Well, how did that happen? You couldn't consciously remember it, but you practiced it so many times that your body knows better than your brain. Now, 95% of who we are, 95% of who we are by the time we're 35 years old is a set of memorized behaviors and emotional reactions, beliefs and perceptions that function just like an automatic computer program. So in time, when the body becomes the mind, now we go unconscious to perform the action. Now, that's nature's way to conserve energy and economize action. The problem is when it comes time to do something differently or think something differently or create some new experience, it feels unnatural. It feels uncommon.
Well, I'm going to touch... Wait one sec. There might be something unnatural happening in your ear right now. Are you hearing yourself talk?
Yeah, there's a lot of feedback.
An echo. So just turn your speakers down on your computer, right? Is that right, Cliff, is to turn the speakers down? And then we can... Because I want you to feel clear so that you can talk with your brilliance in this particular format. I don't want you to have that echo happening.
Yeah, I don't know where that is on this computer.
Turn down his speakers. So is anyone still there? Is Paula still there or anyone still there?
No, but okay. I'll make my way here.
Okay. All right. You can always just take your speaker a little bit away from your ear, as long as we can still hear you on the microphone, you don't need to have it right in your ear.
Okay, that's a good idea.
Okay, so is anxiety, is something like anxiety a memorized habit? Do you go through, when you have patterns or something that makes you anxious as a child, do you just build and build and build on that pattern, whereas it might not be genetic at all, it might be a memorized pattern?
Well, I don't really believe that anxiety is genetic at all. I think anxiety is the result of an experience in our environment. And so what most people do is they have a traumatic event in their life that produces a strong emotion. And feelings and emotions are the end product of past events. So then if you have an event that knocks you out of balance emotionally and you're preparing yourself again for that event to happen in some future time, and you're protecting yourself and anticipating that event, what you're really doing from a quantum perspective is you're selecting the potential in the quantum field. Any potential, but you're selecting the same potential from your past, and you're emotionally embracing what it would be like if that event occurred. Now, if you do that over and over again, what you're doing is you're making thought more real than anything else, and then your body as the unconscious mind begins to believe it's in that future experience in the present moment because you're embracing the emotion ahead of the actual event. If you keep doing that over time, you'll condition your body to memorize fear as well as your conscious mind. Now, keep doing it over and over and over again, you condition the body to become the mind of fear, and now it's a subconscious program. If you keep going, your body will have a panic attack without you. And try as you may with your conscious mind to try to control it,
yeah,
you can't because now it's a subconscious program. And so anxiety, if you look at a functional brain scan of a person who has anxiety, it looks exactly the same as someone who has depression. Anxiety is focusing on the future and preparing yourself for the worst case scenario. And depression is focusing on some past event and bringing up the emotions till your body becomes hopeless and powerless because you're conditioning it to be that way. So the model then really becomes teaching people how to move into the present moment. So neurologically, chemically, and emotionally, genetically, it begins to signal the very genes that causes us to lose the present moment.
Interesting, because there's a few kids that I know of that have anxiety, and the parents are convinced that it is genetic. And there might be something that was so subtle in this child's life up to the point of, you know, 10 years old that happened that the parents might have overlooked, nobody's fault, but that set up that pattern to maybe it's, you know, even mirroring the, you know, the adult that might have it or something if it's genetic. It's interesting. So that so medication they think is a solution or talk therapy is a solution, but at that point you need to reprogram the brain at that point, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, we've had so many people in our work that struggled with severe anxiety and severe depression. And instead of running, see, most people, they have the emotion, and what they do is they try to do something outside of them to make it go away, you know. They'll take a drug or they'll do something to, or drink or whatever to try to sedate the body, to give the body a chance to move back into balance. And so, but what that does, it almost creates like a conditioning or a dependence on something outside of them. When you start understanding that transformation can take place and that your body basically is living in the future and it's not in the present moment, and you teach somebody through mindfulness or what we call in neuroscience metacognition to become conscious when you start thinking about that event and bringing yourself back to the present moment, start noticing the emotion and settling the body back down into the present moment, in time, sooner or later, the body will acquiesce. And when that happens, the body literally liberates energy. And the side effect of that is called joy. The person is no longer trying to predict the future based on the past. The body finally lets go, and it's in the present moment. And now the person, we could see this on all the brain scans that we did. We see people all of a sudden go from this hyper-analytical, overly critical, vigilant state to all of a sudden a normal brain, and there's no chatter anymore. There's no conversation any longer because they've quieted down the circuits that really are connected to that state of mind.
And, well, how did they quiet the circuits down, which I know we're going to get into. Is that through meditation and brain change concepts? Okay.
So the word meditation means to become familiar with, to make known, right? So when you're sitting in a meditation and all of a sudden you notice your thoughts starting to go to some future event and you become conscious of that unconscious process, and then you stop and you relax and move back into the present moment, you're unfiring and unwiring those circuits. And if you notice a propensity to want to get up and do something to alleviate your anxiety and you say, no, the body's the mind here, we're going to sit down and we're going to relax you back down into the present moment. And if you notice that the emotions of vigilance and impatience and frustration comes up, and you know that's the body is the mind doing that, and you become conscious of it, and you settle yourself back down into the present moment, every time you do that, you're reconditioning the body to a new mind. Now, the body is the servant to the mind, but if we condition the body to become the mind, now the servants become the master, and most people think they're making all of their choices with their mind, but in fact, they're making a choice with their body as their mind to reaffirm some type of addiction emotionally. So the meditative process then helps people to move into the present moment.
Now, does this also apply if someone has pain? Like someone is saying, how do you heal a part of the body like the knees? Someone else has continual back problems, two failed surgeries, incessant pain. So is that a physical reaction towards something that's inflamed or broken, or can you control that with your mind?
Well, I think that everybody has their own individual case history and story. And I think that pain is the body signaling the brain to let it know that something is out of balance or something is wrong. And I think that a new model or a new understanding about how to deal with pain has to be created, because when a person begins to realize that they spend the majority of their time in some emotional state, and those emotions drive certain thoughts, and those thoughts reaffirm the same emotions, then there's no new information coming into the nervous system or the body, and the body literally will stay in stasis, and that's really what pain is. There's no change. So in our work, we ask people to say, well, if that pain had a name, if you could call it something, if it had an emotion, what would you call it? And you would be surprised at how in tune people are to, oh my God, this is just a lot of fear, or this is just a lot of anger, or this is a lot of resentment. Okay, now we have a place to start. Yay. Because that emotion is what's tormenting the body, and the body is being enslaved emotionally. And for the most part, most people don't even know that they're that, because it's become so common and known to them until it becomes time to change. And all of a sudden now, the voices in their head get really loud, because that's the body saying, look, I don't want to leave my familiar place. So
right.
There's no formula, but one of the things that happens with pain and its change is when a person can begin to do the same exact thing that they did when they created anxiety, as an example, now they begin to select a different potential in the quantum field called health or vitality or in love with life, and they begin to emotionally embrace that future event before the event is made manifest, then the emotion now is no longer keeping them anchored to the past. They're using an elevated emotion of gratitude or joy or inspiration. And when you marry a clear intention with an elevated emotion, you move into a new state of being. And that literally rewires the brain, and it literally begins to condition the body to a new mind. So now the body's no longer living the past. It's actually getting a taste or a sampling of the future. So then if you were able to do that every day and say, I'm not going to get up until I feel like I'm in love with life or I'm in a state of gratitude. Well, most people would say, well, I'd give thanks when my pain went away. Well, that's kind of the old model of reality of cause and effect. Wait for
reverse.
Something inside of you to change how you feel inside of you. That's Newtonian. The quantum model of reality says you're going to give thanks before the event is made manifest, and your body, as the unconscious mind, as you give thanks, believes the event has already happened, because
move
gratitude
forward.
Means it's yeah. already done. So gratitude becomes the ultimate state of receivership, and it's the emotion then of gratitude that literally begins to signal new genes and new ways before the experience. And it is that type of change we've saw over and over again in our workshops, that in one meditation or one particular inward process, the person gets up and says, oh my God, the pain in my back is gone, the pain in my leg is gone, my MS is gone, because the inner experience was more real than the outer experience, and it became the experience, and their body reorganized to a new mind.
And it does take a guided, experienced person, such as Dr. Joe, who's done this for years and years and lectures, you know, 200 days across in the year, to know what specifically in meditation does create this change. And I want to direct you really quickly to this special offer. We're not going to talk about it now. I just want to tell you that those guided meditations are in this offer, and they're incredible. These are the meditations where people have complete remissive pain. I mean, completely gone from the body. If you look at the website, which is theawareshow.com/dispensa, if you go to theawareshow.com/DISPENZA, you will find the, and I'm just going to look at that really quickly, the meditations that are on there. I was listening to these last night about space, the body parts, space version 1 and space version 2, the meditations for breaking the habit of being yourself. What is so special about these meditations? What is it? Because we haven't even gotten to the whole concept of firing and wiring and your story, and I get too excited.
Well, I mean, this is everybody always asks, why do we have to start a meditation by focusing on space? And the answer is very simple. The whole purpose of meditation is to get beyond your analytical mind. That's what the purpose of meditation is. Now, what separates the conscious mind from the subconscious mind is the analytical mind. And most people, when they try to change, they're analyzing their problems and their life within the emotion that they've memorized. And an emotion is a record of the past, so for the most part, they're thinking in the past. The solution comes when they get beyond the emotional state. So
put this in the context of finances.
So, okay, well, let me answer the question, and then we'll tie it all together.
Okay.
So we use the concept of opening your focus, because when you're stressed out and emotional, when you're fearful, when you're angry, when you're frustrated, when you're feeling lack, when you're unworthy, the hormones of stress tend to cause us to become very narrow-focused, very object-focused. We're focusing on our bodies. We're focusing on things in our environment. We're obsessing about time. And it's that kind of narrow-minded focus that's connected to emergency. So your mother says, you know, watch the stairs. You're going to fall down the stairs. Tie your shoe. You could break your neck. You know, that's how we've been taught how to focus. And that very, very emergency mode of focus is not the focus to create it. And it actually drives the analytical mind further into the wrong brainwave pattern, high beta. So now people have an unconscious understanding of what it means to really pay attention. So when the research shows that when you begin to open your focus and go from a narrow focus to an open focus, and you begin to sense the space that your body's in space and the space around your body in space, the first thing that happens is that you're no longer analyzing and thinking. You're sensing and you're feeling. And that begins to slow down the thinking brain. So naturally, your brain waves move from a beta into alpha. And as it slows down, you're falling back out of the thinking brain into the operating system where the true transformation takes place. So that induction that we use, we know that people then move into the elegant state where they can make significant changes. Now, when they get there, they are in the place of fertile ground, and they're beyond their conscious mind, and they're actually in the autonomic nervous system where true healing takes place. They're planting a seed in a system that already knows how to heal a disease, that already knows how to take care of different things. So if you're looking at something like finances or abundance, the first question is that do you feel lack? So if you feel lack, and that emotion then is the constant emotion that you're feeling, then that emotion is going to drive a certain set of thoughts. I never have enough money. I never have enough time. I never have enough energy. There's not enough. Poor me. The universe is working against me. Because those are all emotions that we're auto-suggesting to ourselves. Those are all thoughts that we're auto-suggesting to ourselves, equal to the emotion that we're experiencing. And so the person moves into a state of being that's equal to their conditions in their environment. So then they're allowing their environment to control and regulate how they're thinking and feeling. So their personal reality is controlling their personality instead of their personality creating their personal reality. So now, lack does not create wealth. As a matter of fact, an abundant person would never feel lack because what they would be feeling is freedom. So now, if we understand that, and we know that there are a certain set of thoughts that a person would have that was in a state of abundance, then once the person got into the operating system, they have to begin to make the internal changes that are connected to the old self, the thoughts, the behaviors, and emotions that keep them as the old self. And then, as they break the habit of the old self, they have to ask themselves, who do I want to be when I open my eyes, and what would wealth feel like, and how would I be? Now, that simple open-ended question is a frontal lobe question, and the brain begins to fire in new sequences and new patterns and new combinations. Whenever you make your brain work differently, you're changing your mind, because mind is the brain in action. If you then couple that clear intention with an elevated emotion, now you better make sure that you're feeling free and abundant and joyful and inspired and giving and caring, because that's how abundant people feel. Now you're moving into a new state of being. So then when you're in that new state of being, now it's time to command matter. Now it's time to begin the process of creating from that new state of being. You can't create from lack, because that's the personality that only knows lack. So we have to alter our state of being before we begin to create. So then if we're able to do that consistently, there should be evidence in our life. But you can't create wealth and then get up and start looking in your bank account and start getting frustrated. You have to maintain that modified state.
That makes sense. So if you that age-old question comes up, well, I can visualize it and I can do affirmations around it, but then when I look in the bank account and it's not there, it invalidates all of that. So what you're saying is the visualization builds the neural networks to create something new. The affirmations, the mentoring, the modeling, all of that creates and builds those neural networks to create a new memory and a new vision of what is possible. And then the minute you go look at the bank account and the money's not there, it disappears.
Well, let's talk about that. This is a great conversation. It's not enough to just visualize, because that's only the mindful process. You have to marry that with an emotion that's coupling with the visualization. So now, if you do the visualization properly, you begin to install the neurological hardware to look like the experience has already physically taken place in your life. That's what mental rehearsal and visualization does. So now the brain is no longer a record of the past. Now it's a map to the future. So those, you're installing those circuits, and that becomes the hardware that you're putting in place that becomes the platform of a new identity. Now, it's not enough to stop there, because the thought in your mind has to become the experience, and the experience then should produce an emotion, and you should begin to feel wealth or abundance. Now, the moment you're feeling wealth and abundance, you're now conditioning your body and signaling new genes in new ways, and your body is beginning to physically change to look like the experience has happened. Now, we said meditation means to become familiar with. Well, if you do that every day and you fire and wire these circuits in your brain and you emotionally condition your body, sooner or later it's going to begin to become familiar to you, and it's going to get easier, and you're going to move into a new state of being, because thoughts are the language of the brain and feelings are the language of the body, and how you think and how you feel creates a state of being. Now, if you're beginning to check the bank account, you just went back to the old self. The new self would never think that way, because if you're looking, it means you're no longer it. So you have to maintain that modified state of mind and body and be so involved in it that you're not going back to the old self. So crossing the river of the change from the old self to the new self really takes defining reality beyond our senses. And when we use our senses to define ourselves or reality, we'll always talk ourselves out of possibility, because senses will last to experience it.
The analyzer will come in and take it out, right?
So if
you are wanting to, someone specifically asked, what does this have to do with changing their financial situation so they can create the money they desire? So you would go to that person and say, what is it that the money would give you? Would it give you the ability to travel? Would it give you the ability to move into another house? Would it give you the ability to put food on your family's table? And choose one of those things, and then go into the emotion of the joy of having a Thanksgiving dinner that you can celebrate and eat around, or the joy of what that travel would look like. But start to find it in like magazines or somewhere where you can start to really bring it into your reality and meditate on that.
I would say that's a good start, because remember, intention is getting clear on what you want. And that's really one of the most important elements, is that helping people to get clear on what they want. Now, once you have the intention and you write it down and you list all the reasons why, the more you can remind yourself of what that future is like, the more you begin to get clear in your brain on what the outcome is going to be. Now, the sponsoring thought behind the abundance, really, or financial freedom, there's a sponsoring thought. Like, why do you want your wealth? Well, I want to be free. I want to be able to do whatever I want, whenever I want, with whoever I want. Okay, so now you'll feel free when you have your wealth. Okay, so that means then you have to start feeling free when you begin your internal process. So now, freedom is the reward from you requiring or achieving your success. So, but don't wait for the success to show up to finally feel your freedom, because if you do, it'll never come, because mind is doing one thing and body's doing something else. You got to get mind and body working together. So then people will say, the materialists will say, well, I can't feel freedom because I just can't feel it. And I would say, well, what emotion are you addicted to that's stopping you from feeling freedom? Well, I feel a lot of lack and a lot of fear. Well, good. That's the exact reason why your wealth isn't coming. So now, let's light a match in a dark place, and let's start looking at the reasons why wealth isn't occurring. And so when people begin to make the distinction between the old self and the new self. All the parts of the self that you're not going to revisit in your day, and then you're going to revisit all the thoughts that are connected to a new self and the emotions that go along with it and the behaviors and what you say. If you just do that simple process of reminding and reviewing who you no longer want to be and who you do want to be, there should begin to, you should start to see some feedback in your life. It's not that complicated. But if you're trying to create a vision board and do all of that stuff and you feel lack or you feel unworthy, it will never happen because it's not the law.
Yeah. It's not going to work. So this is why, I mean, this is one of the reasons why I am so impassioned about bringing these types of offers to you, to the audience, because this is, I mean, we can come up with the toolkit in our head of, oh yeah, I got to do the vision board, and what else do I remember that I got to do? But when you get into the true work of what Dr. Joe Dispenza is teaching, it will change your life. And I'm not just saying that lightly. If you listen to these CD, these recordings, it will completely transform your reality. If you're just getting a little bit out of this, you know, 30 minutes that we've been on right now, and if you're starting to understand what we're talking about, you can take this and you can dive into this for hours and hours and hours, and you will transform because it makes so much sense. This is all, of course, grounded in science. This is all neurochemistry. This is neuroplasticity. This is how the brain works. And it's to really look at it from the perspective of healing pain or of creating and manifesting what it is you want in your life, it's a perfect application. So first of all, I just want to let you know, by going to that website, theawareshow.com/Dispenza, this is by far the biggest, most all-encompassing offer that Dr. Joe has ever put together for the Aware Show. And I think the reason is he really wants you to get it. He really wants you to get the concepts. And I listened to it, and it was, I mean, it's everything is in here. And, I mean, even down to you and Dr. Bruce Lipton talking, which was so incredible. But why did you make... Why don't you put everything in here and at such a low price? And thank you.
I'm happy to give. And I think that this is a great time to be alive right now. And if enough people are actually embracing these concepts and empowering themselves in their lives, I think the world will change a lot faster. And when we no longer rely on anything outside of us to make us happy, and we are really executing some of the principles that we already innately know, and you get a little science to remind you about that, and then you get a little instruction. As long as you keep doing it, you're going to walk into your destiny sooner or later, and then you're going to be so happy that you made the time for yourself to do it. So I really am at the point in my life where I really don't really even try to convince people anymore, because I know from so... Well, right now that people are doing amazing things. And if everybody begins to embrace these concepts, we give people permission to do the same. I mean, because of mirror neurons, if you see someone dance the salsa, you'll dance the salsa better. If you see someone hit a tennis ball really well, you'll hit a tennis ball better. If you see someone lead with compassion, you'll lead with compassion in your life better. If you see someone heal themselves of a disease, or create wealth for themselves, and they talk about it, you'll give yourself permission to do the same. So we have to begin to demonstrate these principles in our life if we want to see some type of global change that lasts for more than a short period of time.
And Dr. Bruce Lipton goes into that in depth. He said that we are facing mass extinction, and he talks about how five previous times in our history, five mass extinctions have happened, and there are more microorganisms disappearing on a daily basis at a more rapid pace than had ever happened in those prior mass extinctions. The only way to truly prevent the sixth mass extinction, which is that of humanity, is with humanity improving and with humanity truly changing the way that we do things, and we cannot continue on the path that we're on. But significant numbers of people have to make those changes in order to really truly save this species. And that when you put the rubber against the wall like that, it makes incredible sense. I mean, we're not just talking about ourselves and our, you know, our finances. We're talking about the survival of a species. Mm-hmm. And to even talk about it in this way, and to hear Bruce talk about that, and to have you follow up on that conversation with the neuroscience of it, was chilling and compelling and motivating to know that this change needs to happen. It needs to happen with all of us, and the way to get it to happen is to understand how. And
right.
And the meditations really are so incredible for that. What do the meditations do to support what I was just talking about?
Well, I mean, let's face it. I mean, every single paradigm that we know of right now is collapsing, whether it's the political model or the economic model, the educational model, the religious model, the environment, the medical model. All of these different systems are beginning to collapse because something else has to emerge. Now, if people are divided in their attention and they're living in fear or they're living in hostility or aggression, they're disempowered from true change. And I think that when you and I begin to make our own personal transformations, look, I mean, the best way we start at this process is that if you're taking care of your anxiety and your fear, and I'm taking care of my impatience and frustration, and our neighbor's taking care of her hatred and prejudice, and everybody's taking care of themselves to transform some limited emotion into an elevated emotion, you know you're getting close is when your heart starts to open. So then we have to lay down the very thing we used our whole life to get what we want for something greater to occur. So then community, connectedness, unity, oneness is the side effect of everybody beginning to move out of these limited states. And so then if everybody's doing that and everybody's eliminating for a period of time, the whole purpose of meditation, the next purpose, is to get beyond your environment, to get beyond your body, and to get beyond time. So if you're living by the hormones of stress, then your body, your environment, and time is the only thing you're preoccupied with. I got to take care of my body. Where in my environment do I go next? How much time do I have to get there? You're an animal being chased by a predator. And so most people live by these primitive states. So if you understand that the privilege of being a human being is that we can think and feel in infinite ways and that we can make our thoughts more real than anything else, then if you wanted to begin to change your brain and body to no longer be living in the past, then the whole purpose of meditation is literally for a period of time in your day to get beyond your association to your environment, to get beyond your body as the mind emotionally and habitually, and to forget about time. To become pure consciousness, to become no body, no one, no thing, nowhere, no place, no time. And when you become pure consciousness, that's the moment you have dominion to produce an effect in your environment. That's the moment you begin to change your body. And that's the moment you begin to create a new future time. And when we did our research in our advanced workshops, I watched people use their brain to try to change their brain. It doesn't work. I watch people use their ego to try to change their ego, and it only made it worse. I watch people use the program to try to change the program, and literally they only endorse the program. When we use matter to try to change matter, we're functioning at a limited place because we're particle, we're matter trying to change energy instead of energy changing matter. So when we move to that state where we get beyond the body, the environment, and time, that's the moment we can change the body, the environment, and time. So it's an irony. Think about it. In order for you to change your life, you got to forget about your life. In order for you to change your body, you got to forget about your body. In order for you to create some future time, you got to forget about your predictable future based on your past. And that is the moment where we are liberated, and that is the moment where we begin to exert change in our life.
That is what growth is. That is what it means to evolve. That is true. And I will assert, if you really want to grow, this is the way to do that. Is you have to look for sometimes mentors outside of yourself and create the mirror neurons like you can right now with Dr. Joe and really follow the guidance of someone who has gone before you to do the research, to lecture on this for decades, to really understand and have heard every single excuse and question from every single person that he's ever lectured to come up with these programs that he's come up with now. This is a body of work in one section that has been ridiculously reduced, but it's to get it to you guys so that you can get this along with me. I am definitely listening and learning along with you guys in this whole process, but because I've been able to listen to half of it, it's so right on. It is the prescription for health. It's the prescription for wealth, but it's really the prescription for evolving as a species and as your human being. So in the so someone is asking you, do you do individual appointments? Because they really want to talk with you directly. And well, I mean, and plus, we haven't even shared with the people who might not have heard before how you made a commitment to God or whoever it was when you were laying paralyzed to, if you were to move again, that you would teach this. And I'm, was that how it went in some way?
Well, that's a small answer to a large question. I will say that in order for us to wake up, we need a wake-up call. And I just had the privilege of being run over by a truck for my wake-up call. And it was the moment, really, where I had to decide if I wanted to be a philosopher or to initiate some of this philosophy into reality and really experience the truth of it, you know, the wisdom of it. And so that's what started me on the journey. And you know, because of the crisis, I mean, we usually wait for crisis to change. That was the moment where when I had my own personal transformation, I couldn't go back to my life as the same person because I was no longer the same person. And I just made a deal with myself and with this intelligence that I had spent a lot of time interacting with. And that was, if I was ever able to walk again, you know, I'd spend the rest of my life really studying the concepts and doing my best to demystify them. And I think that people already innately know how to do this. I'm very clear that we all know how to do this, and we've all done, you know, amazing and miraculous things, all of us, at some point in our life. Now the key is, can we be able to reproduce that and make it a skill? And so instead of waiting for crisis to change, why not change in a state of inspiration and joy? Because the hardest part about change and crisis, and I can tell you from experience, is that we tend to focus on what we don't want to happen instead of what we do want to happen, because those survival emotions tend to drive our thoughts to those worst-case scenarios. And turning that battleship around takes an enormous amount of will, an enormous amount of effort and cognition. And so I think it's a new time in history where people want to change before the crisis, and that's why we do our events, because we have people, of course, that are sick or want things in their life, but we have people that genuinely just want to be happy and genuinely want to be whole. And all of the work we did with spontaneous remissions, and I've studied it for years, and I've had the privilege of seeing so many people over the years turn health conditions around. One of the most important things that happens, it happens every single time, and that is, person is crossing that river of change. They're in the unknown, they're in the unpredictable, but they're creating a future in the unknown. That's how they're predicting their future, is they're creating it. And they reach a point, it's happened so many times, where they are so whole and so happy with themselves and so in love with life that they could care less about their condition. They don't really, they don't even care that they have it. And that is the moment it disappears, like they never had it, because the disease exists in the old personality. It doesn't exist in the new personality.
Absolutely.
The person is happy in the moment with themselves, and they are connected to a future, but they're not obsessing about it. They're not forcing it. They're not trying. They've just let go, and the moment they surrender and they're happy with who they are, it's the moment that greater intelligence steps in and organizes an event equal to that state of being. And that, I think, is one of the key elements to creation. We have to create in a state of wholeness. So once we arrive at that wholeness, then we no longer need it. And the irony is that's when it happens.
Well, and I wanted to mention that the meditations for breaking the habit of being yourself is the meditations I'm talking about. The body parts get you into the space so that you can, I would listen to the body parts first and then get to the meditations for breaking the habit of being yourself, because you really get connected with the body and where it is in space and time. And then once you've gotten into that mode, then you can go into breaking the habits. And it's a 4-week meditation, and that's just one item in this whole offer, but it is a 4-week guided meditation process. Now, someone was saying, after I read your book, I started doing the exercises and all of my addictions came back. What did I do wrong? The meditations are, I think, what get you your expertise. You take Dr. Joe's expertise and then you marry it with the concepts of the book, and that's where I think the magic happens. For me, it was, because when I started listening to those meditations, that's what unlocked my future for me. That's what unlocked the place where I needed to move to. Someone here is specifically asking, saying that they were diagnosed with thyroiditis and Hashimoto's. Where'd that person go? From Holland. And okay. So that's a good example of someone who, I mean, you take something that's could be genetic, it could be autoimmune. I mean, it is autoimmune. So what would
let's
you do?
Talk about
with,
it.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it. Number one, I'll be in Holland next week, next Wednesday. I'll be in Amsterdam somewhere. I don't know.
Cool.
I'm going from Germany to Barcelona, and I'm stopping to do a book signing in Holland because my book is now translated in Dutch. But I want to talk about Hashimoto's syndrome, because we had more than one person that has healed themselves of that condition. So,
wow.
We had a woman that was a 32-year-old female living in a very abusive relationship. She had never been angry or hostile or frustrated. She's had all these intense conflicts with her boyfriend at the time, and the stress of the relationship was the exact state of emergency that signaled the gene that switched it on that activated that autoimmune condition. So then, if you're living in emergency mode all the time and all of your energy is going to some threat in your external environment, real or imagined, your body's in emergency and it believes that it's being chased by a predator. So you're either going to fight or you're going to run. There's no energy in your internal environment for growth and repair, and that weakened state then allows the immune system to become compromised and switches the gene on. So this woman had started feeling a tremendous amount of fatigue, and as a result of it, she started having large clumps of hair falling out of her head. She couldn't stay awake for more than a couple hours at a time. She went to the doctor. She had the blood work done. They diagnosed her with Hashimoto's syndrome, and they told her that she'd have to live on Synthroid for the rest of her life. Now, she was a student. She read my book. She had just started the work. And I saw her in our first workshop, and she couldn't stay awake hardly during the workshop. She continued the meditation process over and over again. She crossed the river of change. She left the relationship. She stepped out into the unknown, and she made a deal with herself. And that was that every single day she'd wake up at 4:30 in the morning, and before she started her day, she would become conscious of all of those unconscious thoughts, bring them into her conscious awareness, and never let any thought slip by her awareness that was connected to the old self. She began to observe and pay attention to all of her behaviors, all of her habits, what she used to say. And she became so aware and so conscious of those unconscious behaviors that she would never fall from grace during that day again. And she looked at the emotions of rage and hatred and judgment and jealousy, and she said, like Gandalf on the bridge, "You may not pass today." And she, every single day, decided that that old self had nothing to do with her future. She had nowhere, she had no idea where she was going. She lost her job, she lost her relationship, she left her home, but she continued to go. And she said, "I am not going to get up from my meditation until I am in love with life every day." Now, she had no reason to be in love with life. And I talk about this woman in the new book I just wrote, because she's a great example. And every day, she began to think about who she wanted to be when she opened her eyes. And she would not get up from her meditation until she was in an absolute state of gratitude. Now, that gratitude means that she was living in the future instead of the past. She did it every day. She didn't take the Synthroid. She continued on the journey. She went back 5 or 6 months later. She went back to the doctor. All of her blood tests were normal. And the doctor sat down with her and said, "I have to tell you, I've never seen this done before. What did you do?" She said, "You know, I epigenetically signaled the wrong genes in the wrong ways because I was living by the survival states of the stress hormones. And I became aware that the old self was living in emergency mode, and I was downregulating my genes that created disease. And I figured if I turn the gene on, I should be able to turn the gene off because Dr. Joe showed us how to do that. So I epigenetically signaled new genes in new ways, moved into a new state of being every day. And the disease called Hashimoto's syndrome lives in the old personality, doesn't live in the new personality." You know what the doctor said to her? He said,
"What?
I wish all my patients thought that way." Now, this person, I had dinner with her just a little ways back in Phoenix. She's got a brand new job. She's working in the business of transformation. She's a partner in the company. She's got a new hot Italian boyfriend. She was just at our event in Long Beach. She said to me, "Dr. Joe, I can't believe how in love with life I am, my life right now." And I said to her, "You created every day of your life to be in love with life. Of course you're going to be in love with life. That's what you created, isn't it?" And so she wants the challenges in her life now, because the disease became a lesson for transformation to her, and she wasn't a victim to it. She used it as a way to initiate her into a greater state of being, and she earns the right to teach transformation because she crossed the river of change. And of course, everybody in her life told her it was impossible, but it never stopped her.
What an amazing story, and the fact that she even brings on challenge because she knows how well she can handle it is incredible. And these meditations in this offer were the ones that she used in order to cross that bridge of change?
Yeah, she did the one that's in the book, yes.
Oh my God. And to just get those kinds of results on, I'm sure there's many, many more stories. You gave the great story of Nelson Mandela, of course, where he was having the thoughts for the first 10 years that he was going to be in prison the rest of his life until one day he made that frontal lobe conversation change, that he decided he was going to change the face of apartheid and change the world and led a nation out of, you know, I mean, that's those types of significant moments don't need to be the Nelson Mandelas of the world. They can be you, too, in whatever situation that you're in life. It is possible. If there's one thing that I am here and committed in life to do, is to talk about the fact that change is possible. And change is possible with these types of tools and techniques because it has been done. It's not just those people out there and them. It's you. It's me. It's us together to do this together. Yes, absolutely. It's... I get so excited about it.
Well, listen, there are no schools of ancient wisdom in the top of the Himalayas that initiate us into greatness. Our life is our initiation, and you and I should look at life as an opportunity to challenge us to greater states of mind. And when we see it that way, and we take on one day as one lifetime to overcome the conditions in our life, to no longer fall from grace, just one day, and we succeed in that one day, Groundhog Day is over. Because now you've overcome something enough that you make room for something new. So if you're getting up every day, doing the same thing as you did the day before and thinking the same way and experiencing the same things, and it's all known and you're predicting your future based on your past because it's become such a program, it's autopilot. I'm curious. I ask people, where is there room for the unknown in your life? If the unknown happened in your life, it would be too inconvenient. You know, it doesn't fit because you got all these routine behaviors. So then making time for our precious self, making time for us to be a work in progress and begin to start our day in a new state of mind and body, that simple process every single day is contributing to ourself, to our family, to our relationships with people that we work with, and ultimately to the world. So when we make time for ourselves, what we're saying is, I believe in thought more than anything else. And when we trade that idea for something else, it's usually for some emotion that keeps us addicted to the past. So the message is really simple. The hardest part of all of this is making the time to do it. And when we make the time to do it, all of us, common people, do the uncommon, and that's when we give people permission to do the same.
I love that. I believe in thought more than anything else. I've got pages of notes here. That is so true. And it's not even taking time to do this. You have time. You have time at night. You have time in the morning. You have time. Once you start listening to this, it resonates as such truth to you, you make time because you want more of it, and it makes more sense to you. And then you want to go back and listen to it again. And that's what I find so exciting and invigorating. So just one last question about that, that unknown, making time for the unknown, Dr. Joe. It can be scary because it does rip you out of your familiar comfort zones, which might very well be killing you. But, how do you what advice can you offer us for wanting to get into that unknown?
Look, an unknown doesn't have to be a predator around the corner. We've been conditioned into believing that the unknown is scary.
Yeah, that's true.
That's how we've been programmed. But listen, the unknown has nothing to do with the scary any longer. The unknown is the mystical. It's the magical. It's the uncommon. It's the synchronicities. It's the moments where you feel so alive and so in awe that you are connected to something greater and that you are interacting with a divine field. That's the unknown that I'm talking about. And so then, if you took time out of your day to unfold, to become nobody, no one, no thing, nowhere, no time, and to invest your energy in the unknown, the longer you linger in the unknown, the more you create an opportunity in your life. So then, when that unknown event occurs, and it rocks your world, and it catches you off guard, and it leaves no doubt that what you did inside of you produced some result outside of you, you're going to pay attention to what you did, and you're going to do it again. And the energy from that experience is going to inspire you and enliven you to use to create your next event, and that's called evolution. When we lose that passion, when we lose that energy, it's because we're caught back up in the known, and we already know how the day is going to go, and it's over. I mean, think about it. Last point. When you were a kid and you went on a school trip, what happened when you went on a school trip? You woke up before your mother, you were dressed, you were in your clothes, you were ready to go. Why? Because something different was going to happen that day. You got
yourself
up. Yeah,
bring it on, yeah.
What happens when, you know, think about it. We get up every day because we know how the day is going to go. There's no inspiration there. So if you knew something unusual was going to happen in your day and it was going to be a fun, wonderful day, you would be up before everybody because you were expecting the unexpected. That is the natural state of being, and it is that state when magic happens.
Yes, and you've got to do something different in order to create a different result. So that's exactly what we're talking about today. Do something different here. If you are waking up and creating the same results over and over and over again, you have got to change the way that you wake up and the way that you're thinking about your life. And I mean, for all the questions, I mean, people are asking, what's the biggest step I can do to take to change their financial situation or to get a new job? Or I mean, yeah, people are talking about past experiences over and over again, memory difficulties. Those types of things can all be changed from the perspective of thought. And that's exactly what Dr. Joe's talking about here today. So you're just amazing, and I love every second of being with you. I don't want to let you go, but is there anything that you can just if you want to share with us final thoughts or something that you want to just impart with us? I saw you have a moment there, and what was that? What was that?
Oh, I started getting excited.
I hear you.
All those questions that everybody has are related to a state of mind and body that keeps them connected to their past. And our identity and our personality, for the most part, is literally connected to our past experiences. And we tell stories about them and embellish those stories, and we reaffirm our identity based on the past. Instead of obsessing about the worst-case scenario that could happen in your life, try something really fun. Start obsessing about the most wonderful thing that could happen in your life, and decide every single day that you are going to condition your body into the future instead of into the past, and then make a deal with that intelligence that's observing all of your actions, and you say to it, hey, guess what? You're the observer. You're observing this all into reality. I'm emulating you today like a creator. So if I emulate you and you're the creator, then I need a sign to let me know that you're paying attention to my efforts. But come on, don't give me a small one. Give me one that leaves no doubt that what I've done somehow has influenced your mind. And surprise me, catch me off guard so that I'm inspired to do this again. So then whether it's a memory problem, whether it's a financial problem, all of those solutions exist outside of the present state of being that you're in. And when you get beyond the old self and you step in that river of change and you keep going, you will reach a moment where you will look back at the old self and the solution has always been there, but it's not in the same frame of mind and body that's connected to the old self.
And you can't believe how long you existed that way. And yes, that's true. So just as a closing here, and maybe you could say this in a clearer way, but I would love to invite people to imagine that wonderful future self and imagine that wonderful thing in your life that could happen that is what you want, is exactly what you want. Type it in there. I would love to see some of those, and just to make it real for you, just write it down in a sentence. What is that possible future? What is that incredible freedom? What does that look like to you? What is the future? Step into the river of change and out the bank on the other side. And what is that future for you? Just indulge yourself. Just write it in there. Just be there with that. And then you get the meditations, and you've got that nice, beautiful image in your brain, and you can go through the meditations and then solidify that. And break the habit of being yourself and the habits that you don't want and move into the future of what it is that you do want. And that's what I invite you to do. And I will even take a chance, if I can, to read some of these, if I can, if you guys put those in there. Okay, but I got a different screen going on here. Well, we'll figure it out in just a second. But write them anyway, because I really want you to get those into your reality. And then the whole entire offer, and again, if you go to theawareshow.com/dispenza, D-I-S-P-E-N-Z-A, then you'll listen to the hours and hours of recordings of lectures that Dr. Joe has given supporting these concepts, telling stories about these concepts, verifying these whole concepts, and step by step answering your questions too about left and right hemispheric thinking, all these different things. It all gets covered in there. And then you add in Bruce Lipton, who I absolutely love, and he builds the whole cellular biology case study on all of it, and then Dr. Joe talks about how it's all possible. So I just want to say thank you so much. This has been such an incredible joy. Someone is calling this the Aware Church.
Do I sound evangelical?
No, I must. I don't know. This is fabulous. I love it, love it, love it, love it. And we all need a dose of this in our lives for the day. The Aware Show is an oasis for this type of information, and make it your reality. That's what I'm saying. So I'm just, thank you so much, and thank you so much for making this huge, huge offer available. I so appreciate your willingness to give and to gift this to people. So thank you very much. It is $97, and it is an incredible price for this incredible offer. So thank you again, Dr. Joe.
You're welcome.
Yay! And until next time, I'm going to read a few of these. The sun is shining in my heart and all around me, happy people. Very nice. To not dwell on hurt and pain, I am not a prisoner of my pain. Break that habit. I will win the New York City Midnight Flash Fiction Contest. Awesome, win it. Good job. All sorts of good stuff coming in. Thank you guys so much, and thank you so much, Dr. Joe. I so appreciate it. Keep dreaming. Keep visioning. Keep moving into your future. Keep sending these things in. I thank you so much. And until next time, I just invite you all to live, love, and flourish in life, and stay aware.